Heavenly Father, in Jesus' name, Lord, we are just so thankful, again, to live in a free country where we can come together and study your word and learn more about your wondrous truth, to learn more about the unsearchable riches that belong to us in Christ. And we don't have to fear the government coming in and putting rifle butts to our heads and just simply because we named the name of Jesus. Lord, what a great country you've put us in. Thank you for keeping it free. Lord, may it always be number one in the world for publishing the gospel. Now, Father, I thank you for these people that have come to hear your word on a Thursday night in America. Lord, I thank you for your anointing that's on your word. I thank you for the anointing of the Holy Spirit. Lord God, if there's anything that the Holy Ghost wants to do tonight, that's exactly what I want to do. These people won't be helped if they just hear me, Father. But if they hear you, they will be helped. Lord, I ask you to take your word, just like Jesus divided the loaves and fishes, and minister and give to each one what they need. Make it fit their own personal life to right now, where they can put this in practice tomorrow, and they'll be changed and never be the same again. Lord, we're here to learn. I thank you for the teacher's anointing tonight, especially, Father. Lord, let everything that's done here please you. And we give you all the praise and all the glory in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. And the people said, amen. Hallelujah. I wasn't going to do any handouts tonight. But as I've told y'all before, I'm not really in charge here. So, about an hour ago, I found out I was. And the first thing we're going to do here is do a mini review of last week. Now, any of you that do not have the tape from last week, I think I brought you one. It was called The Breastplate of Righteousness. Any of you that don't have a tape, don't leave here tonight without one. In fact, if you don't mind, I'll just give it to you now, because if you're like me, you're going to be so excited later, you might not think of it. I know you're going to get a tape player. George, do you have one of these from last week?
Yes, I do.
I have one.
You don't? Y'all have one. Gerald, did I give you one of these, Breastplate of Righteousness? No? Okay. Hallelujah. If there was ever a tape that you needed to listen to over and over again, that's a good one. And I didn't even understand myself how much so. It's not because I taught it. It's because of the truth that's on it. But I'm telling you, this is that tape and this truth that we're going to review again here real quick is foundational. If you don't understand this, you're never going to live the abundant life. And I'm getting ahead of myself. Oh. So let's look at understanding righteousness. This is basically a quick review of last week's tape. Now, these first two are not. This is why we're doing this. The Lord today started showing me, connecting up these two verses. As newborn babes, this is 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 2. As newborn babes, desire the sincere milk of the word that you may grow thereby. How many wants to grow in the Lord? Our whole purpose is to be strong in the Lord and the power of His might. Not Kevin's, remember? Okay. Remember I said one week, I said, if all we had to depend on was Kevin's might, we're all in trouble. See? And we could say that about any one of us. See, if you try and fight the devil in your own strength, you're in big trouble. It ain't going to work. You know, he's been around 6,000 years. He's a fallen angel, but he's still an angel. He's got powers you don't have in yourself. So what Paul was telling us in Ephesians 6, he says, now what you need to do is be strong in the Lord and the power of His might. Then he starts telling us how to do that, and that's what we're in the process of studying. The first night we talked about, the name of that tape is God Cannot Lie. We talked about strapping on the belt of truth. Okay, that's what everything else hinges on. Now we're not going to reteach that one. Last week we talked about the breastplate of righteousness. Now, righteousness. As newborn babes, desire the sincere milk of the word that you may grow thereby. Now, what is milk? Well, Hebrews chapter 5, starting in verse 12, tells you what it is. Paul was writing to these Hebrew Christians, and he says, for when the time you ought to be teachers, you have need that one teach you again which be the first principles of the oracles of God, and are become such as have need of milk, and not of strong meat. Now, he's going to tell you what milk is. For everyone that uses milk is unskillful in the word of what? Righteousness. For he is a babe. If you never get this, on righteousness, you're going to stay a baby Christian your whole life. You're never going. Y'all know what milk is? What makes milk? Why do we give babies milk and not T-bone? Milk is pre-digested. You understand what I'm saying? A cow eats grass, digests that grass, makes milk. Milk has already been digested once. That's why you can give it to a baby. Their digestive system has not been fully developed yet. You can't give them a T-bone. That takes a real strong digestive system. Their stuff, and I'm not saying I'm on strong meat myself, okay, but there's stuff I've got on that computer. If I was to try and teach it to you guys, none of you'd come back. Be honest with you, you'd get offended and leave. You're not ready for it yet. I was barely ready for it. I about got offended and threw my computer away when he's telling me, okay? But you've got to get grounded on this righteousness. This is the milk. This is where you grow, okay? And verse 14, but strong meat belongs to them that are of full age, even those who by reason of use have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil. Now, capital letters. You will never be able to digest the strong meat of the Word until you understand that in Christ you are righteous. Not just some vague general knowledge from Thursday night Bible study that you're righteous. Get this. You have to understand this down to your toes. You understand what I'm saying? I mean, this has got to become, when you drink milk, the reason we give it to babies, we need babies to grow. We want their bones, their muscles, and everything to grow. That's why we give them milk, okay? It's easy to digest. It's already been digested once. It has what they need to get strong bones, to start growing up, get strong muscles. And if you want to get strong spiritually, you've got to understand this milk. You need to drink this milk and drink this milk. What I mean by that is meditate on this, and meditate on this till it becomes bone of your bone, flesh of your flesh, where even the devil himself cannot talk you out of it. Now here's why. If you do not, you will never be able to stand against the wiles, that means strategies, plans of the devil. You will never be able to war successfully against him in order to obtain the promises of God. Now face it, in your heart you know that God will not fight for the unrighteous. Stop for a minute. Remember Tammy last week, she asked the perfect question right on cue. We were quoting Caleb, and he says, if God delight in us, we are well able to take the land, or something like that. That's the way the verse went. And Tammy says, well, how do I know God delights in me? The perfect question. That is the question, because if you don't know God delights in you, how do you know he's going to fight for you, right? All right, now look. That's why you've got to understand this completely. Read that sentence again. Face it. In your heart, you know that God will not fight for the unrighteous. The devil knows that you know that. That is why the devil will always be trying to focus your attention on your failings and your shortcomings. He wants you to believe that you are unrighteous and that God will not fight for you. Now get this. That's the only way he can defeat you. He does not have authority over you. What did Jesus say? Behold, I give you power over all the power of the enemy to tread on serpents and scorpions and so forth, right? You really have the power. Why is it we get defeated? This right here. If the devil can convince you that God, for some reason, any reason, will not fight for you, he can defeat you. Angie, stand up for me. I'm being nice to Mikey. I haven't been here in a while. I'll go pick on you. Now, Angie's about, you know, this tall.
5'3".
5'3", okay. And come right out here for a minute. Who's going to be the devil? Gerald, you be the devil. Come in.
No.
Now face, we're going to talk about warfare here in a minute. How tall are you?
5'10".
About 5'10"? I mean, there's an obvious difference here. I don't think in a fist fight, Angie's going to have much chance, okay? But now, we don't have anyone big enough here to do that. But now, let's say the devil goes, I'm going to tear your head plumb. How tall are you, Randy? Get over here. Stand right behind Angie. That's good enough. That'll do. Now, I need you here. I need you here, Gerald. Hang on just a minute. Gerald walks up. Gerald walks up. He's the devil, see? And here's Angie, the little believer. And Gerald walks up and he says, I'm going to take your head clean off of your shoulders. And Angie goes, uh-oh. You know, I mean, in herself, I don't think she's going to whip Gerald. And I think she knows that, okay? Tammy says she thinks she can take him. Now, all of a sudden, here's God. Randy's God. Now, if you can picture Randy about however big you picture God, let's just say, for example's sake, his head extended above the ceiling here. Okay, let's say this guy is big, and he walks up right behind Angie, looks the devil right in the eye, and say, what did you say? And the devil says, actually, this is one of your righteous ones. Perhaps I should leave her alone. Okay? And it says, resist the devil, and he will flee from you and go sit back in his chair. Thank y'all. Thank y'all. You understand? Strong in the Lord and in the power. Strong in Randy. No, I mean strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. See? The whole point is, I don't care what the devil comes and threatens you with. If you know God is standing right there behind you, ready, willing, and able to unleash all the forces of heaven, the angels, the power of the Holy Ghost, the name of Jesus. I mean, if you know he's standing right there, are you afraid? Are you afraid? We're going to talk about that tonight. But you have got to know that he will fight for you. Otherwise, you're standing there in your own strength, facing the devil. And he'll defeat you every time. That's why you must understand this down to your toes. You understand what I'm saying? Because the devil, his whole job is to make you. Now see, this whole thing works by faith. God, legally, positionally, is ready to be your defense at all times, to fight for you at all times. If, here's the big if, you will believe that. It's by faith. If you don't believe it, he won't do it. Then you're left on your own. You get defeated. And that's what the devil tries to do. He says, Angie, do you remember that cuss word you said today? For example, this is an example. Do you remember that cuss word you said today? Does that sound like a righteous person's actions to you? No. He said, you know, the Bible says, really, Angie, that you're not even supposed to worry. You're supposed to cast all of your cares on the Lord. But then, you know, I noticed the other day you were worrying about your finances. Does that sound like a righteous person? You see what I'm saying? That's the way the devil works. He's always pointing at your shortcomings, your failings, trying to get you to look at your own righteousness, your own self. And if he can do that, I mean, if y'all have met any perfect people, y'all might point them out to me. I haven't met any. As far as I know, there's only one that crucified him on a cross, okay? There's only one. If you're waiting to be perfect, to believe God is going to add his strength to yours, you got a long wait coming. Okay? Now, let me pick up where we left off. Is that a good example? Does that help? Now. All right. We'll pick it up here in the middle of that paragraph. It says, the devil knows that you know that God doesn't fight for the unrighteous. That is why the devil will always be trying to focus your attention on your failings and shortcomings. He wants you to believe that you are unrighteous and that God will not fight for you, and that's the only way he can defeat you. He has no power over you otherwise. You know, and he knows, that the devil is no match for God. We don't have a problem with that, do we? Remember what I said last week, dualism is a religion often found in Christianity even. It's especially prevalent in the Eastern religions. It's called like yin and yang. There's a good force, and there's the bad force. Star Wars was based on that whole premise, by the way. The good force and the dark force, okay? It's like two opposing. There's God and the devil, okay? And it's like these two equal opposing forces, and the whole challenge in the end is to see who's going to win. That's called dualism. That is not the truth. God is God, and there is none like him. He is creator of all. Nothing even comes close to matching his power. The devil is so insignificant that the book of Revelation says that in the last days, when he is finally exposed, the people are going to walk by and look at who the devil is, and they're going to, in amazement, say, Is that the one that deceived the nations? I mean, you're going to be surprised how puny the devil is when you actually see him. People are going to be going, that pathetic creature is the one that deceived the nations in unbelief. Of course, they've seen Jesus by this time, you know. But anyway, okay. God created the devil. The devil is not equal with God. You've got to be kidding. Besides that, Jesus has already defeated him completely. He has no power over you. The only chance he has is to trick you into believing he does. And he does that primarily by telling you, you are unrighteous. Now, let's finish this. This is review. Does this sound good? You ought to hear the tape if you like this. Oh, anyway. Okay, that's the only way the devil can defeat you. You know and he knows that the devil is no match for God. If you ever come to the place of believing that you are righteous and that God will fight for you, the devil is in big time trouble. Now, this is normal. This is, when I do capital letters, it's always, I'm hearing it in my spirit in Norval's voice. Okay, get it straight. Jesus bore all of your unrighteousness. He gave you his righteousness as a free gift. You will never be more righteous than you are right now. Everyone say,
I will never
be more righteous,
than I am right now.
Hallelujah. God will fight for you. You don't have to keep confessing. God will fight for you today if, you ought to circle that, if you will believe it. And he will not fight for you if you do not. This is by faith. Why is that statement so important? Right here. I'm glad you asked that. Oh, to deny that you are righteous is to deny that the work of Jesus Christ on the cross was sufficient payment for your sin. Do you understand what you're saying? When the devil talks you into believing that you are unrighteous, well, I know Jesus suffered horribly and bore all of that pain and suffering and bled on the cross and even spent 3 days and nights in the heart of the belly of the earth. But, you know, it just wasn't quite enough. I mean, I appreciate what he did, but it just wasn't quite enough to pay for my sin. I mean, you just don't know how big my sin is. You're actually exalting yourself above the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. It's a false pride. It sure is. That doesn't feel like pride when you're going through it. It feels like depression because the devil is using his best shot to take you out. It feels like depression, but in reality, it's pride. Your sin, your failings, your shortcomings is bigger than the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. You would never say that with your mouth. But yet, when you agree with the devil that you're unrighteous, that's what you're really saying. Scary. That's why God won't add himself to that. God is a faith God. Yes, sir?
When someone told you, bitterness. I mean, I'm not making that as an excuse, but you feel.
Okay, we're going to talk about walking in righteousness in a minute. We're just talking about positional truth right now. You must understand that you are righteous strictly based on what? On Jesus. That's the point. Okay. For the benefit of the tape, Dr. Thompson was saying, well, sometimes you're talking about emotions when you feel down. Sometimes it's because somebody hasn't forgiven you the bondage.
When you don't forgive someone, it holds that other person in bondage too.
Yeah. Okay.
And so someone can feel.
Oh, there's a lot of reasons why you can feel down.
Well, I mean, unrighteous, you feel like you're not, that you haven't been forgiven.
Yeah. See, that's based on emotions, though. And what we're talking about is the difference between spirit and soul. If you go by emotions or go by circumstances, be honest with you, that's a good, the very verse that we quoted up here, let me find it, Hebrews 5:14. You want some strong meat? You want a little T-bone? All right. Strong meat belongs to them that are of full age. Even those, now get this, who by reason of use have their senses. What are your senses? Everything that you feel, touch, smell, hear, your emotions. Okay? Senses, the sense realm, everything to do with the sense realm. Now get this. Those that are of full age, ready for strong meat, have all of their senses exercised, that means trained, to discern both good and evil. What in the world does that mean? All right? A person who is skilled in the handling of righteousness, not a baby. Not a baby. They came to Thursday night Bible study. They wore that tape out. They ordered another one. Wore that tape out. Ordered another one. And wore that tape out until they got it down to their toes that they are the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. A person who cannot be shaken off of that. That's a person who has their senses trained. When emotions come, I don't care for what reason, that makes them feel down. It doesn't mean that the emotions are not going to come, but they have trained all their sense realm to be able to tell the difference between what is spirit and what is soul. Okay? Spirit is good. Living by your soul will get you killed. All right? So they say, I feel down. I just don't understand. Maybe someone is holding me in the bondage of unforgiveness. Maybe witches are praying against me. You could come up with all kinds of stuff. I feel down. That's what their senses, their emotions are telling them. I don't feel like the righteousness of God today. Now, a person who is skilled in the handling of the word of righteousness, the dividing line is the word of God. You go, all right, what does God's word say? I am the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. The joy of the Lord is my strength. Emotions, you are going with something that is not the truth. I reject you. I will praise the Lord my God. This is the day that the Lord has made. I will rejoice and be glad in it. Now, that is a person that has graduated from milk. Good answer. Good. You like that? Go to, I have to credit Dave Roberson with most of that. Okay. But I went through and the Holy Spirit's made that one real in me. I mean, I heard it first from Dave, but I understand it. It took a while for me to get it. Do you understand that? That's a person that's graduated beyond the sense realm. They're not moved by their senses anymore. They tell their senses. I like what Smith Wigglesworth used to say. He says, and Kenneth Hagin has picked it up to the point now we almost credit him with the quote, but it's actually, he's quoting Smith Wigglesworth. He says, I'm not moved by what I feel. I'm not moved by what I see. I'm only moved by what I believe, and I believe the Word of God. Now, that is a person that's graduated from milk to strong meat. Doesn't matter what you see. Doesn't matter what you feel. Doesn't matter what you hear. What did God say? You have exercised your whole sense realm, body, emotions, everything. Every decision you make, everything is based on what did God say, period. If you're going with what God said, you're operating in the spirit. You will be victorious. If you're going in the soul realm based on emotions or anything other than what God said, normally the devil will defeat you. Yes. How I feel. I tell Smith. You know, let me say it on for the tape here. Another quote by Smith Wigglesworth says, I don't ask Smith Wigglesworth how he feels. I tell Smith Wigglesworth how he feels. And again, that's someone that's graduated from milk and is on strong meat. I want to get there. Do you guys? I'm more there than I used to be. I'll be honest with you. I have a lot fewer of them blue Mondays, if you want to call them that, than I used to. Them down in the dump days and you don't even know why. Sometimes you do know why, Okay? But a lot of times you just feel that way and don't even know why, God, I have less of them than I used to. I like what Norval says. I don't have any blue Mondays. You understand me, my brother and sister? I love Norval Hayes. Hallelujah. All right, that paragraph again. This is just review. We haven't even got to the good stuff yet. To the tonight stuff. We may not finish tonight's either. It is so important that you get this. The Holy Ghost told me, he says, he told me to tell you this. You don't have to do it. I suggest, based on what I got in prayer, this one page, at least, you take with you tonight. Fold it in the middle, or fold it however, and put it in your Bible. You're going to need to review this again and again and again until you get righteousness to your toes. Okay? You need this. I would suggest you keep this one. Review it. Just have it ready. You don't have to, but I would sure suggest it. Okay. Strongly. Let's read that second to the last paragraph again. To deny that you are righteous is to deny that the work of Jesus Christ on the cross was sufficient payment for your sin. Now, all of the promises of God are yes and amen in Christ, because legally, now get this, in the justice halls of heaven, Angie, you have never sinned. Will God add his strength and fight for a person who has never sinned? Can you understand that? Based on what Jesus did, if the devil was to go and accuse you before God, and you're in Christ, and he would say, God, look at Angie's sin. You can't fight for her. God would look and say, what sin? What sin? Bring up Angie's record on the heavenly computer, if there was such a thing. Okay, they bring up Angie's file. Righteous. No sin listed there. See? In the justice halls of heaven, who paid for your sins? Jesus. Did he pay for most of them? All of them. Will God add his strength to a righteous person? For sure. That's the whole point, you guys. You must, even Kevin, I know it's hard for you to believe, is righteous in Christ. Bring up Kevin's file on the heaven. Okay, of course, now Kevin's sitting over there thinking, you don't know what I said today. Yeah, that's easy for you to say, Gary. You didn't follow me around all day. We're going to get to that in a minute. Okay? Factor real quick here. But legally in Christ, positional truth we're talking here. In the justice halls of heaven, you have never sinned. You are Tammy. Even Tammy is a righteous daughter of God. Now, Tammy, if God be for you, I'd like to ask you a question. Who's going to be against you? No one. No one. Now, here's in relation to what you did today, okay? I did not say that you are currently living a righteous lifestyle. I said that legally you have been declared righteous by the judge of the universe. No devil can take that from you if you will believe it. Now, when you do stumble and fall, the reason I put 1 John 1:9, be quick. Don't run from God. Be quick to run to God. As soon as you know, recognize you sin. As soon as you recognize you missed it. I don't want to take a chance, even though I think I quote that one exactly, 1 John 1:9. Be good to have it on the tape anyway. If you sin, here's your verse. If we confess our sins, He, God, is faithful and just to forgive us our sins. Now get this, and He doesn't just forgive you, He cleanses us from all unrighteousness. The very thing that the devil is trying to convince you that you are, you unrighteous, unholy outfit. Okay? The devil is doing his best to convince you that you're unrighteous. See? So that he can defeat you. And here you've got a forever escape clause that'll never die because the blood of Jesus is eternal. You can call on 1 John 1:9. If Jesus told Peter to forgive 490 times a day, 70 times 7, how many times you reckon you can call on that verse to get forgiveness, ask God the Father to forgive you and cleanse you from all unrighteousness? I don't think even Mike sins 490 times a day. But see, Kevin might. But see, I mean, God told Peter to do that in Peter's strength. If Peter has the capacity to do that, how much more? I mean, you know, God's not, what I'm saying, He's not limited to 490 times. Telephone. Dr. George has a page. We will take a short break. Okay, we're back from our break now. Now we're going to hand out, we're going to start on that. And I don't know if we'll get through with this one tonight or not. Are y'all going to share? Okay. Now actually, we're going on tonight. That was a review. That was all free. There's no additional charge for the righteousness review. And actually tonight we're going on with the next piece in the armor of God, which in Ephesians it says, having your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Now, I got to tell you this. Remember, you know, we talked a few weeks ago about meditation, how to meditate the Word. How I got this is such a pure example. Such a pure example of meditation and praying in the Holy Ghost to get His assistance in understanding what the Scriptures mean. I'll say it again. Each verse does not mean 30 different things. There's no reason to have 30 different denominations around town. That's crazy. The Bible means what the Holy Ghost meant when he spoke it through people and they wrote it down on paper. That's what it means. It doesn't mean anything else. So your job is to get in there and meditate the Word. Don't try and figure it out yourself. Meditate the Word. Do it in whole subjects. Pray in the Holy Ghost. That's praying in other tongues. Let the Holy Spirit communicate these same mysteries to your spirit. And once you get it, your own spirit will enlighten your mind. And it'll make sense from Genesis to maps. And it'll be what God meant, not what some denomination says, okay? Now, for example, we've been reading Ephesians chapter 6 about our warfare. And we want to be strong in the Lord and the power of His might. I'm going to read it again just so we'll have it on the tape in case someone doesn't have the tapes from the previous services. Our goal is to be strong in the Lord and the power of His might. And Paul wrote in Ephesians chapter 6, starting in verse 10, finally. In other words, this is his conclusion, you know, of this whole letter to the Ephesian church. Now, don't be reading ahead, please. Okay? This is his conclusion of everything he wrote. He's summing it all up when he says, finally. Now, in conclusion, here's the summation. You know, here's the point. All right? My brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. Put on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. Now, here's what I mean about meditation. Verse 12, when he says, for we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Now, stop for a minute. Meditation, now, you can go to your handout now. Meditation. You will never understand the warfare Paul describes in Ephesians chapter 6 without taking it in the same context that he wrote it in, namely, the warfare of Israel in taking the promised land. It corresponds exactly with our living the abundant life. Now stop for a minute. You see what he's saying here, Angie? You see what he's saying? He says, look, Israel had to go in and fight a physical, flesh and blood enemy in order to possess a physical land. Okay? So what he's doing, he's drawing a comparison between Israel and us. We're not going in to fight a flesh and blood enemy. Okay? We're going in to fight these principalities, these powers, these rulers of darkness, and these wicked spirits. Why? To possess the abundant life. That's what Jesus said was ours. That's our promised land. All the promises of God in Christ are yes and amen in Him. How many wants to walk in more power over the devil? I mean, he wants to become one of those strong, meek guys that's able to discern the difference between good and evil and know if you're walking in the Spirit, if you're walking according to the flesh. See? Well, that's called the abundant life, living in all of that. So in order to understand it, see, meditation is take it in context. Well, the context he is drawing here is comparing our walk with Israel's walk. Now, here's why that's so important. Next paragraph on your handout. I'm back and forth to the Bible here. Feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. I asked Sue what it meant. By the way, I asked Gerald what it meant when he came in tonight. And they both gave the same answer I would have given till last night. Which is always being prepared to preach the gospel of peace. Okay, now stop for a minute. That would be like, what is our gospel? God was in Christ, reconciling the world unto Himself, not holding men's trespasses against them. And at the end of that, he says, be ye reconciled to God. In other words, God has made an avenue for you to be at peace with Him. That's our gospel. Jesus paid for all of your sins. If you will receive Him as your Savior and accept that payment for your sins, you don't have to pay for them yourself. Isn't that our gospel? You can be at peace with God. Okay? So that's what I've always thought that meant. But now that's not taking into account Joshua. That's not taking into account the comparison that Paul is making with their battle. Now look at this. That's the same answer I would have given. Now the Holy Ghost taught me this way. He connected that verse in Ephesians with Joshua chapter 1, which states, every place where the sole of your feet shall tread, I give unto you. Your feet treading, does that sound very much to you like putting something on your, having your feet shod with something? We're talking about feet in both instances, are we not? Okay? Now look, it means you are always at peace knowing you have the victory no matter how big the enemy, how fortified the walls of the stronghold, because you know that God will fight for you. Let me read this to you out of Joshua. See, meditation, you take everything in context. Well, Paul is obviously drawing a connection between Israel's Old Testament battle and our New Testament battle. He says, now, we're not fighting with flesh and blood like they were, but these principles are the same. Now, here's what God really said to Joshua. He says, this is Joshua chapter 1, starting in verse 2. Moses, my servant, is dead. God's talking here. Now, therefore, rise, go over this Jordan, thou and all this people, unto the land which I do give to them, even to the children of Israel. Every place that the sole of your foot shall tread upon, that have I given unto you, as I said unto Moses. Right there is your shoes. That's your shoes. You're supposed to put that on right now. In our covenant, Jesus said, I have come that they might have life and have it more abundantly. The Bible says, for example, by his stripes you were healed. You say, well, I'm not healed right now. I got physical disease in my body. Is that right? Let me tell you something. If you'll put these peace shoes on, which means God will fight for you if you will go out to possess the land. If you will go out to possess it, he will fight for you. And the day will come when your feet will walk on healing. And it won't be a positional truth anymore. It'll be a temporal truth that will manifest itself in your body. I don't know why I keep looking at you. It's my daughter. I love her. Hallelujah. There's no reason for that. I mean, that's okay. Now notice this. It's a big land from the wilderness, verse 4, from the wilderness and this Lebanon, even unto the great river, the river Euphrates, all the land of the Hittites, and unto the great sea toward the going down of the sun shall be your coast. Now here it is. There shall not any man, what would we say in our covenant? We don't wrestle against men. Who are we wrestling against? Devils, right? Read it that way. There shall not any devil be able to stand before thee all the days of thy life. Now, this was their covenant, as I was with Moses. Who is our Moses? Who was Moses a type and a shadow of? Jesus. Now get this, as I was with Jesus, so I will be with Mike. I will be with you. Can you believe that, Mike? No, you can't. Don't lie to me. We'll have an altar call for liars. You ain't believing that. You don't no more believe that than nothing. Now, I'm taking the devil's advocate. I'm being the devil's advocate here for a minute. Okay? Mike, when Jesus took the loaves and fishes and blessed them, asked God to bless them, he divided them amongst the 5,000. Are you telling me, Mike, that as God was with Jesus, so he is with you? Are you telling me that God would do that for you? Dr. Tompkins says, let's eat. Huh? Yeah, okay, see, now he says, no. But the truth is, yes. Jesus said, the works that I do, and greater works than these shall you do. In other words, anything Jesus did, it is possible for us to do, and even greater works than those, because he goes to the Father. Our problem is, although Mike started off with a good confession, and I purposely talked him out of it. Okay? See, we want to believe that so bad, but when you really get down to the practical nuts and bolts of it, oh, you mean God would use my hands to physically, really multiply loaves and fishes, just like he did in Jesus' hands? And you could take any other stories, see? If you're led by the Holy Ghost, like Jesus was, and that's what you're supposed to do, yeah. Yeah. We have a hard time believing that. But that's the promise. As I was with Moses, or as I was with Jesus, so I will be with you. Now get this. I will not fail thee, nor forsake thee. That one promise right there, if we really understand that we're righteous, that is, God will fight for you. I will not fail you, nor forsake you. You see? That right there is what we were talking about last week. Being strong in the Lord and in the power of His might, strictly based on the covenant. You're righteous because of what Jesus did. The promised land belonged to these people because of the covenant between God and Abraham. They were Abraham's seed. God had promised Abraham the land for him and his seed. Okay, so they're going in to possess it, see? All right? God has promised us the abundant life in Christ. Galatians chapter 3 somewhere, 3:29 I think, says, if ye be Christ, then are ye Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise. See, it belongs to us the same way. Based on that, based on... Tammy, if you can get at peace, if you can understand that no matter what, I will not leave you, I will not fail you, nor forsake you, would your days be any more peaceful? I imagine, she says. See? I imagine. Okay. Go back to the handout here for a minute. The Holy Spirit, He connected that verse in Ephesians with Joshua 1, which states, every place where the sole of your feet shall tread, I give unto you. It means you are always at peace, knowing you have the victory, no matter how big the enemy, how fortified the walls of the stronghold, because you know that God will fight for you. The way He said it was, I will not forsake you. I will not fail you, nor forsake you. Jesus said, my peace I leave with you, not as the world gives. Now, do y'all realize He said that on the eve of the cross, knowing that the devil was going to throw everything at Him? I mean, the full fury of sin, the full penalty, all of the sicknesses, everything, every discouragement, everything that's damnable to human beings was placed on Jesus at the cross. Jesus knew when He said this, tomorrow's the day. But yet He says, I'm at peace, and I'm leaving you my peace. And it's not as the world gives. I guess not. Okay? I guess not. Yet He was at peace because He knew that the Father would raise Him again. Now, that's why it says, your feet shod with the preparation. It doesn't... For years I quoted it wrong. I said, your feet shod with the gospel of peace. And that's not what it says. It says, your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. What does that mean? You must be prepared ahead of time, before the battle. Jesus spoke this the night before the cross. He was ready. He understood. He already knew the promise of the Father, that will not allow thy Holy One to see corruption. He knew He was going to be raised again on the third day. And He rested. That's where His peace was. Okay? You must be prepared ahead of time, before the battle, to be at peace no matter what the enemy launches at you. This involves meditation day and night. Worship ahead of time are necessary. Now, while I was typing this, the Holy Ghost brought this verse to my mind. Isaiah chapter 30, verse 15. For thus saith the Lord God, thus saith the Lord God, the Holy One of Israel. See, in returning and rest shall you be saved. In quietness and in confidence shall be your strength. And you would not. He goes on to talk about, you always run off to Egypt to get help. You never turn to me. See, what's Egypt a type of? The world. Always dependent on the world. Always do it the world's way. Don't live by faith. God says, if you will be at peace and in confidence, if you let me be your strength, knowing that I will fight for you, that's your answer. Don't be running off to the world. Where that verse that says Isaiah 30 and verse 15. Now here are some correlations between, to understand Ephesians 6, you have to draw, that's what Paul was doing, was drawing comparisons between Israel's warfare in the Old Testament and our warfare in the New. So I put some of them down here to help you. And me too. What are these strongholds? Well, it's the way we think. Imaginations, programmed emotional responses, value systems, and we're always limiting everything to the natural world. Now, let me can you prove that, Brother Gary? Oh, yeah, we can prove that. Now, you don't have to turn there, but it's in 2 Corinthians. Real familiar passage, if I can find it. Hallelujah. I didn't have this. Yes. Chapter 10, and verse 3. For though we walk in the flesh, we do not war after the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not natural, not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of, what's that? Strongholds. Do you see the comparison? Stronghold, like Jericho. They come up to Jericho. It's a stronghold. Remember, you asked me, what's fortified cities? They got these walls around them. Can you get a picture now of what the devil has done in your mind? These strongholds, I was going to prove it to you that it's in your mind. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. Now, watch. Casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. This is how you become progressively a person on strong meat. When you're able to bring those thoughts, those imaginations, those emotions, all of those things that hell and the devils throw at you, when you're able to take those and say, wait a minute, draw out my sword. What did God say? What did God say? Okay, and you stack all these emotions and feelings and imaginations and high things on one side, and then you look at what God said on the other side, which is, I will not fail you. I will not forsake you. As I was with Jesus, so will I be with you. Okay, that's what God said. Then a man on strong meat goes, I'm not moved by this stuff. This is the day that the Lord has made. I will rejoice and be glad in it. He has given me authority and power to tread over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall by any means hurt me. You're starting to get on some strong meat now. Now, get a picture. In your mind, can you all picture the River Jordan? Over there is Jericho. Now, I've never seen it, you know, of course. But if you can picture, it's like an old, like a castle. I mean, in a way, it's got these high walls all the way around it. Now, do you understand? You don't know what's on the inside of those walls. What is it about a stronghold? You can't see past the walls. See, it's deception. You don't know what's in there. But let me tell you this. Whatever's in there is squatting on your abundant life. You're supposed to be living on that land that is presently being occupied by these Jerichites. Can I use that? Okay. That's your land. God gave it to you. But with this stronghold, these high walls, you can't even see in there. That's called deception. You don't even know what it is. But yet it's supposed to be yours, and you can't even see in there. You see that? Now, the Word of God, Paul says, is mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. Can you see the walls coming down? All right, let's go on here. Once the walls are down, though, and you can see in there, that still doesn't mean you have it. You see? The blinders just came off is all. Okay, so strongholds, it's the way we think, imaginations, programmed emotional responses, value systems, normally limited to the natural world. What is this killing by the sword? See, now once the strongholds come down, those people are still in there. Your enemy's still in there. They're still squatting on your land, aren't they, Mike? Just because the wall come down, they're squatting. And they're armed. And they're mean, and they don't want to give up. All right? What is killing by the sword? Their instructions was to go in and kill by the sword. these enemies. What is that? Speaking the word of God. Our two-edged sword. We're going to talk about that extensively in a few weeks. When we get to the end of Ephesians chapter 6 there, or this armor of God, he says, taking the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. One translation I love says, taking the sword which the Spirit wields. That's the sword that the Holy Spirit wields. When you start confessing it, the Holy Spirit, we're strong in who? His strength, right? You start confessing it. What did Jesus do when he was attacked by the devil? It is written. Swoosh. It is written. Swoosh. That's how you're going to put the devil on the run. That's how you kill your enemies, see? Now, so killing by the sword, that represents speaking the word of God, our two-edged sword. Now, what's in there, though? What's in there? I'm not talking about the walls anymore. I'm talking about what's in the wall. The ground inside of there. Where you're supposed to, that's your ground. You're supposed to have that. But there's a squatter on it. All right, what does that correspond to? What is that in our life? The riches within the stronghold is revelation knowledge. It's truth that you've never walked in. You couldn't see it before because there was a wall around it. A wall of deception. See, until you started hearing somebody tell you, you are the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus, if you'd never heard that, the devil have easy time convincing you you're just a slimy dog worm crawling your way to heaven, which is what most churches preach. Okay? And if that's a stronghold that's been erected, that kind of thinking was erected in me my whole growing up life, it was a major stronghold. They always quoted the first half of the verse, there's none righteous, no, not one. You know, oh, you know, you come out of there feeling like a slimy dog worm. But they never tell you, but the gift of God is righteousness. You know, it's freely, it's a free gift in Christ Jesus. No, I never heard that part, you know, at least not in a practical way that I could put it to work in my life, see. All right, now, that's revelation knowledge, truth that you've never walked in. It doesn't replace the stronghold. That was the deception that kept you from seeing it. The stronghold kept it hid from view. You were ignorant of it. But the wrong thinking has to be torn down in order that we can see, then enter, then possess the truth in every battle. Take a cancer patient. All right? If they've never heard that Jesus is a healer, that's a stronghold. It's erected in their mind is God won't heal you. Or there's no reason for you to expect God to heal you. That could be a stronghold. Now, inside of there where they can't see, is the promise that says, by his stripes you were healed. That's their land. It belongs to them. God fully intends for them to walk on that and possess it with those gospel shoes of peace, knowing that he himself will fight for them, you see. All right, first some preacher has to say, you don't have to die with cancer. That's a lie from the devil. Did you know that by his stripes you were healed? And Jesus intends to heal you now. So, wham, you know, revelation. Suddenly the walls come down, and at least they can see the promise. By his stripes you were healed. That does not by any means mean they possess it, but at least the walls come down, and they can see it. And that's part of their abundant life, and they're supposed to live on it. However, it is still occupied by these squatters, this enemy, armed to the teeth. All right, now, who are they? See, the next one, the Canaanites, whoever it is that's living in there. The enemy in each, okay, the Canaanites, or the enemy that is in each city to be conquered, equals devils. Or you could say, thought patterns energized by devils. When the walls of Jericho, boy, tonight, thank you, Jesus, I've been praying in tongues a lot. When the walls of Jericho came down, the revelation knowledge, the riches were in view. They were exposed. But there was still active resistance in the form of the Jerichites, I made that word up, who lived there. They had to be put to death in order for Israel to possess that land and take the possession of it to dedicate to God. According to Paul, we wrestle not with flesh and blood, but against principalities, powers, rulers of darkness, and wicked spirits. Now, get this. Here's Norval's voice. You ready? They're going to fight you. You understand that? You're not going to possess this promised land easily. These devils are going to fight you with wrong thinking, doubt, discouragement, circumstances, old emotional patterns that have become familiar to you. In order for your feet to ever walk in the truth of each new revelation, warfare against a living, active enemy is required. And your feet must be shod with peace during your warfare. What peace? The peace of knowing your God will fight for you. Just because you hear a good preacher expose revelation knowledge to you does not mean that you are ever going to possess and walk in that truth. You will have active opposition. That is why you need to have on the full armor of God and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God, praying always with all prayer, and I separated this with all those dots for a reason, and we got two different things here, and supplication in the Spirit. These are two different weapons, and you need to know that. The sword of the Spirit is confession of the Word of God. Supplication in the Spirit is intercession in other tongues. Why did he give us two different weapons? Listen, one, you know what to pray for. If you're sick, you know what to pray for, don't you? If you don't, come over here, we'll cast that devil out of your thinking. God wants you healed. Beloved, I wish above all things that you'd prosper and be in health even as your soul prospers. If you don't have enough money to pay your bills, I got news for you. That's an easy one. God wants you to have enough money to pay your bills. Okay? He wants you to prosper. So you can take the Word of God on the areas where you know what to pray for and start confessing that Word. It is written, my God shall supply all of my need according to His riches and glory by Christ Jesus. Oh, I've been young and now I'm old, but I've never seen the righteous forsaken nor his seed begging bread. You start wielding that sword. It is written. It is written. It is written. Now, the next part is, how is that going to happen though in your life? See, we can speak the end result based on God's Word. But the how to get you from point A, where you are right now with your bills unmet, to point B, where your bills are paid and you have an abundance left over, that's the part you don't know how to pray. That's where the Holy Ghost comes in. And you start making supplication in the Spirit. And he starts actually praying the plan of God for your life that was decided before the foundation of the world to get you from point A, where you are now, to point B. So you've got two things. Confession of the Word, speaking the Word of God, speaking the end result. I've been talking on that for months, I guess. You know, quit telling me how bad your business is. That's an evil report. That's what the devil's trying to say, you know. And you're agreeing. Don't ever agree with the devil on nothing. Don't agree with him. See? But then the how-to part, how to get you there. Who's the smart one? That's Jesus. You know, we have the mind of Christ in the Holy Spirit. You start praying in other tongues, he starts praying the plan to get you from where you are now to the manifestation of God's Word. Tammy, I told you earlier that part of that thing was going to be on tonight, so I'm sorry, it's next week. You'll have to come back. Oh, it was something else. Now, you'll like this one, too. The Lord showed me some tactics. Do y'all understand where I'm coming from here? We are supposed to always be ready to preach the gospel. The Bible does say, be instant in season. Be instant out of season to preach the Word. But that's not what Paul's talking about there. Again, the only way to understand that passage is to make the same comparison he's making. He's comparing the Old Testament Israel and their battle against the enemies of God with our battle in the New Testament. So when he says having your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace, what he means by that is always understanding. I'm holding up the Bible here. Everything that Jesus died for to give you the abundant life belongs to you. God says it's already Randy's. As far as God's concerned, it belongs to him. Every promise in the book belongs to Randy right now, as far as God's concerned. That don't mean Randy's walking in none of it. You see what I'm saying? Good Christian people die with cancer every day. They're not walking in. By his stripes you're healed. Now, having your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace any promise, any part of this promised land that you decide, I'm going to walk on that. He said if I'd walk on that, he'd give it to me. You say, let's take the cancer patient. I believe by his stripes I'm healed. I'm going to walk in that. I'm not going to die with this cancer. That's a lie from hell. I don't have to do it, see. Walking in peace is going, even from the outset, while the pain is in your body, while the circumstances, the hurt, maybe you're going through chemotherapy, I don't know, whatever. While you're going through that, you're always at peace, knowing what? As long as you stay on the Word, God will fight for you. You will possess that land. In quietness and confidence is your strength. The devil is always trying to get you to run around with all these diversionary things. Got a problem with brush fires over here and brush fires over there. The kids are messing up in school. This and that, whatever, you know. Always trying to run you around. I was telling Sue today, I said, maybe I ought to get a big bottle of that super glue. You notice what Paul said in Ephesians. He says, you need to have on all this armor. Why? To stand. Stand up again, Randy. Can I use you again? The verse says that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. Now, the Greek is a more precise language than ours. Okay? When it says stand, here's the picture it's drawing. This time you're the devil. I'm sorry. It's God before. This time you're the devil. I'm the believer. Okay? When that word says stand, it means, give me your mean look. You can't even give me a mean look. Okay? Here's what it means. Eyeball to eyeball, nose to nose, chin to chin, chest to chest, neither one intending to budge. That's what the word stand means in that verse. The devil is going to intimidate you completely if he can. You can sit down. We're not patty caking around here. He's going to make it look bad, what I'm telling you. When he says stand against the wiles of the devil, I mean the devil is going to come up and do his best to push you off this righteousness business. Having your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace is like stick'em for your shoes. I am standing right here. I'm not backing up. Devil, you are. Why? Anyone know the answer? Why? Yes. My God. Sue was saying, because she was quoting David. She was quoting David and Goliath, which is a good quote. He said, what did David say? Now, he said, you uncircumcised Philistine, you come against me with sword and stave, but I come against you in the name of the Lord of hosts. This day will I take your head from off your shoulders, and I will feed your carcass to the fowls of the air. Glory to God. That's what you're supposed to be saying to the devil. I'm going to take your head clean off, boy. I'm going to take it clean off. You understand me? The devil's looking at you. See? Looking at you. Now, as long as he can get you to look at you, you're in trouble. But when you're saying that, I come against you in the name of the Lord of hosts, now who's he got to look at? Uh-oh. God. This one understands. They are righteous. God will fight for this one. I think I'll back off. See, you put stick'em on your shoes. You're not budging. Well, it is. It's stick'em for your shoes. It's stick'em for your shoes. I'm going to stick. What is that? That you may stand. That you may stand against the wiles of the devil. The devil's always trying to get you to bat. What is warfare? Any country that goes to war against another country. You have two armies. One is trying to push the other one back. That's what warfare is about. And Paul says, you're not going backwards. I want you to put on this whole armor. Why? So you'll be able to stand. It's stick 'em for your shoes. I'm sorry. That's what it is. Stick 'em for your shoes. I'm at peace. Yeah, but all hell's breaking loose around me. I'm telling you, the dryer quit. The dog got run over. The kids are messing up. This and that. This and that. This and that. You know? And you go, wait a minute. I got stick 'em on my shoes. I got news for you, devil. I'm not moved by none of that stuff. You messed up. You let me go to Thursday night Bible study. You wasn't able to stop me. And I've been finding out some stuff. You know what I found out? I'm righteous. I am righteous. My God fights for me. I'm not moved by all that stuff. I'm starting to eat some hamburger now. I'm headed towards steak. You understand me? I know that those things are all temporal. They're all in the circumstance realm. You're doing that as brush fires, trying to move me off the Word. See, Jesus said the cares of this life, the deceitfulness of riches, the lust of other things choke the Word, and it becomes unfruitful. Says, you know, I don't think I'm going to let you choke the Word in me anymore. I'm not moved by none of that stuff. I'm telling you, I thank my God who always causes me to triumph in Christ. Greater is He that's in me than you that's in the world, devil. I got stick'em on my shoes. I'm going to stand right here, and you are going to back off. Glory to God, Gary. That's good preaching. Hallelujah. Glory. Y'all see what I'm saying? And it applies every single promise in the book. As far as God's concerned, it's already yours. When are you going to walk on it? When are you going to walk on it? I'm preaching to me now. When are you going to walk on it, see? Hallelujah. Any questions on that? It's a lot easier to preach than it is to do. And it's a lot easier to hear than it is to do. Is it the hearer only that's blessed in His Word? How would you start putting this into practice, you guys? I'm just asking you, and Nancy and Joni, if you're on the tape, I'm asking you. I mean, if you're listening to this tape, I'm asking you. That's George Trubicek's sister. How would you start putting this into practice?
I think what I do is, on any of our lessons or whatever, what I do is I'll go and I'll apply what you say. I mean, I'll say, okay, I am the righteousness. You know, mm-hmm. by what Jesus did, I am righteous. And I'll go and I'll get my little victory. Mm-hmm. And then Satan will come with my daughter getting suspended from school or something, mm-hmm. or whatever, you know, whatever. Whatever, you know, comes against mm-hmm. me, and I'll back off or take a couple steps back.
Mm-hmm.
I have to do it just like step by step.
Right.
You know, I might back off a little bit. I look at my circumstances, but once I get my eyes back on what I've been taught and what I know.
You are getting on hamburger. See? You're getting off of milk. You're starting to get on hamburger. That's exactly the process, because God told Moses before they ever started, He says, I'm not going to give you the land all at once. Y'all remember that? He says, little by little, you're going to possess the land. So it's really like that. Now, the day will come, you won't even back up a couple of steps. The reason it does that, it catches you by surprise right now. You're expecting a battle in one area, and so there's a...
I don't think anything catches me.
Okay, maybe not anymore. Maybe not anymore. Not at once. Yeah. But it's little by little that you possess land. I would recommend this. All else means nothing if you don't firmly get it in your mind that what you do on a day-to-day basis does not affect your righteousness. If the devil can keep using that logic against you, he will continue to defeat you, because one day you'll be righteous, and the next day you won't. And then maybe the next day you will, and the next day you won't. So you might have a little victory one day and take a step forward, and then the next day he's going to drive you two steps back. If I was going to do one thing, yes.
You might take two steps back, but if you keep pressing on, you're going to take three steps forward.
Yes, yes. That's exactly right. But one thing that'll help you from taking any of those steps back is understanding to your toes how righteous you are. And if you do sin, if your conscience bothers you, if you did something and your conscience bothers you, that's your spirit. If you're born again, spirit-led person, spirit-filled person, you can trust your conscience. If your conscience says, I shouldn't have said that, I shouldn't have done that, right then, don't wait, right then, repent. That, God, I'm sorry, I shouldn't have done that. I ask you to forgive me according to 1 John 1:9 and cleanse me from all unrighteousness. I thank you for it, Father. I'm going to watch that thing. And bam, I mean, you're right. You have the everlasting blood of Jesus from now forever to cleanse you. He's already paid for all of that. All of that. And as long as you've got a heart for God and going after God, I tell you again, if you're waiting on God, if you think God is waiting on you to become a perfect person before He'll fight for you, you've got a long wait coming. No, He doesn't do that. That's the whole point of why Jesus came. Jesus paid for all that stuff, so now God can be your strength. You are righteous in Christ. Amen? That's what I would get down to my toes. If there was one thing that you must get, it's that right there. Your foundation. Must have it. Must have it. Because if not, the devil's always going to be defeating you, looking at yourself. Yes, sir.
consequence. We don't see that answer come in our prescribed time. I think our prayers must not have prevailed right. much. So therefore, it means much more. And that's logical. We're not right.
Yeah. Now see that, and that's logical, natural thinking. That's the very thing we was talking about tonight. And that's, in other words, you'll feel righteous one day. When you made the prayer, you felt righteous, or you wouldn't have prayed it. But then when you don't see the answer in a certain amount of time, well, I must not be righteous. God didn't answer my prayer. Well, that decision is based on what you see, what you perceive. It's not based, that's not the strong meat of the word. What did God say? I will never fail you, nor forsake you.
As we were saying that, Bob's saying to me too is that I don't need to go have Billy Joe pray over me. Mm-hmm. We're all the righteous.
Yeah.
The righteous to come.
Be honest with you. Now you can take this to the bank. The older you get in the Lord, and the more mature you get in the Lord, the less prayer lines will work for you. Did you know that?
You expect to do something on your own.
It won't work for you. That's right. God expects you to walk on your. He don't expect you to be a baby forever. See? He expects you to walk in your own.
What I'm saying is that thinking that righteousness by someone's work,
yes,
they're in Christ Jesus. So we're talking about that in prayer meeting because I don't see victory in that person's life totally yet. They can't be righteous.
Yeah, see, and that's a lie. That's completely a lie. That's right. Hallelujah. That's right. We're done.